Hello, and welcome to the Geekiest Podcast, where we sit around and talk to our friends about all things geeky, all the while giving each other geek points to determine who is the geekiest.
Welcome to The Geekiest. My name is Joseph. My pronouns are he, him.
Hello, I'm Kayla, and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Will, he, him.
I'm Jaden, and I actually go by any pronouns.
Hi, Jaden.
Welcome, Jaden.
Hi, happy to be here.
I think I met Jaden on the Attic Door Media Discord server
a while back.
And you had posted a link to your Instagram, and I think I saw Chibi. Chibi
English
Molly
is
Mock.
Hard.
Molly Mock.
Yeah, I saw Chibi Molly Mock, and I was like, "You must be on the show." And pretty much as the first opening we had, we were able to get Jaden on. Jaden has, as mentioned, a very interesting Instagram with all sorts of awesome illustrations of various styles, which I really appreciate. And she also has a TikTok, which I started watching recently.
Oh, no.
It's really cute. There's a lot of good stuff.
And you know, there's also an Etsy. So after we talk up this awesome artist and geek, you should all then go and raid the Etsy and get all the goodness there. So as with any great fantasy, sci-fi, comic book story, we always look for the origin. So what got you into art?
Generally, I think just growing up, I was a creative kid. I've always really liked drawing and even in school, you know, like back when you were in school, whenever there's a project that involved art, everyone just turns to the kid that can do art. I was that person.
Ah, gotcha.
And I fell out of it for a long time. And then getting back into like D&D and all that sort of thing, wanting to find art for my characters, I was like, you know, instead of scrolling for hours trying to find something perfect, I was like, I could just draw this. I could definitely do it. And then drawing for friends, and then eventually people asking if they could pay me, and then I just tried to turn it into an actual little side business that I could do, since I really enjoyed doing it and working with people's characters.
That is, the artists that draw people's characters are absolute gifts to the D&D world. Because we all think we can. But it's not always true. You know, and I don't know about anybody else, but for me, having an accurate drawing representation of my character kind of helps me stay in that character, build that character, even sometimes as I start with drawing the character as a way to flesh out the character.
Absolutely. I've definitely, just drawing them, added little details that turn into whole character things. I started with just a name for a character that turned into the whole plot, just because it was an inspiration. So definitely starting with the drawings is a really cool way to build character.
Very cool. And this is just something that you do on the side? Have you gone to school for art? Or?
I haven't. It has very recently kind of become my full-time job. Didn't enjoy the job I was at, so I chose to quit. And I'm just trying to make this work for now while I have the opportunity to do so.
Outstanding. We all should be doing more of that.
Where are we going to find the time?
Yeah, there's no time for hobbies nowadays.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is a lot of people are turning their hobbies into careers, you know, which is kind of a double-edged sword, you know, being someone that has not really completely done that, but sort of done that. You have to be careful, and let me know what you think, but it seems to me sometimes you have to be careful that you don't lose the love for it because it's a job now.
That is a big issue with like a lot of artists, and like anyone that does like what they love for their job. I found something similar, like people that bake and people that write, like authors, that sort of thing, because you're now being forced to do what you love. So especially like if I was getting paid to draw something that I didn't want to draw, I have the option to either turn it down and not make money or do it and be upset. Or not even necessarily upset, but unhappy with doing that. And I think that that's a challenge that every artist or creative faces when they choose to make that their job. And I think it's just trying to find a balance between what they're willing to do and making the money that they need.
Yeah, that's definitely, there's a, I guess, a bit of integrity, you know, and kind of you have to kind of hold your ground on some lines and know where you can be flexible. But you said you started out in D&D. How long have you been playing D&D?
A couple of years now. I'd always been really interested and just never really knew how to start. And it was funny, I don't really go to parties, but I have a couple siblings. They threw a party at our house, so I was just kind of around. I had mentioned just in passing to a couple of them that I've always wanted to play. And a couple of months later, one of her friends messaged me and was like, hey, we're starting a D&D game. Like, did you want to play? And I was like, yeah, you remember I said that? and he's like, yeah. And I just started, and then it kind of just spiraled into, I was in like 4 games at one point.
I feel that. I feel that hard right now.
and I'm still in 2 currently.
Very cool. Very cool. What do you play? I gotta know.
Oh, I've played so many. Right now, I have a Kenku sorcerer. I'm a really good roleplay. My DM wanted to challenge me, so when I said Kenku, they're like, yes. And it's a challenge. And then we have a game that is a bit of a, I want to say modded because of video games, but a conversion. There we go. That's the word I was looking for a futuristic setting where I play a mechanic of sorts. She goes to scrap yards and builds different things. It's very steampunky, futuristic.
I love that. That's fun. So you're using what 5e is the basis?
Yeah. And then there was like just different skills that were added on. And then the races and classes are just completely new.
Very cool. There's something to be said for making up your own.
I believe the DM found it online, but I'd have to ask him what it's actually called.
We will definitely have to include that if we can figure out what it is.
Yeah. What do you play?
That's a homebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you play right now if you're playing?
Oh my god, who wants to take? Will, you're probably playing, what, 1 game right now? I'm going to go last because I'm playing way too many.
I'm actually not playing any games right now, but I've got, oh god, my main D&D character is a Lightfoot Halfling Rogue Cleric, which is an interesting combination. And then I've got Star Wars characters, I've got Star Trek characters, god, I've got characters upon characters in my bag of tricks.
Don't we all?
Man, what a nerd.
Yeah, hey, go ahead and tell them.
Just because I'm playing a Jawa in my Star Wars game, don't give me grief.
That's amazing.
And yes, when I do have to communicate, I have a soundboard with Jawa sound effects. So
that's amazing. You got to commit to the character.
That's a geek point.
That's so right. Geek point. Oh my god, that's amazing.
So when your Jawa goes into a bar and the bartender asks him what he wants, does he yell martini?
We can't take away geek points, right?
I haven't even given him one to take away yet.
Can we go into the negative?
Listen, the first time in history, I think somebody's about to go negative geek points.
Oh, first time for everything.
Listen, I am invoking, as this is the week leading up to Father's Day here in the United States, I'm invoking my right to a dad joke.
There you go.
Okay, we'll let you have one.
Gotta give him one. Yes,
one dad joke. God, that was horrible.
I know. So I have a very special case for mine. So I was in a bit of a long-term game with Mark and CC from Addict Door Media, and I was playing there a Dragonborn monk, Avendus the Awe-Inspiring. Unfortunately, that campaign became a casualty of the pandemic.
Yeah, feel that.
Yeah, between you know, not playing in person, and then the DM and host of the game and his wife moved to Atlanta. So kind of ended the game. And then Kayla has been running a campaign that we're recording to eventually release as a podcast. And I I originally was co-DMing with her, just kind of running the bits and pieces for like combat and stuff. But as she has become a very experienced and very good DM, you're welcome. I have gotten to shift over and play what I like to call helper characters. Originally, we thought of the character idea. We came up with the idea to keep the party from being stuck shopping all the time. So
that's their favorite part.
I know. So I have played. A lizard folk ranger, Dakaz.
Dakaz was fun.
Dakaz was fun. And when we when leveling up happened, I've actually leveled him up as things have gone on. So he is now ranger druid.
Ooh, druids are powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. My goal in this campaign is to when my helper character departs, to just wreak emotional havoc on everybody.
Yep, and that's exactly what you're doing.
So with Dakaz, he decided to stay back and the Jungle Book land, and his departing had everybody weeping. I played a Lightfoot halfling wild magic sorcerer called Lash, and that was a lot of fun. Just constantly turning and looking to Kayla. Okay, that was a first level spell. Should I roll for if I had a wild magic surge?
Every time.
Yes.
Or, hey, I used that the Tides of Fate power, whatever it is, where I can alter a roll. I want to get that power back, so I'm gonna just roll on the surge table. Okay.
Sure. And Kayla holds her breath.
Yes.
Out of my own curiosity, just because I found it as a theme, did you play by the actual rules of the Wild Mage list, or did you make your own list? I find that almost everyone I've talked to that has a Wild Mage, they made their own list.
I actually was going to... I just used what was in the book. We didn't make our own. Probably for the best, because shenanigans would have really been... but it was...
Hey, were supposed to be helping.
I only had one surge where I hit, everybody got hit with like taking necrotic damage, and then I healed that back. They were less than happy with that roll, but when I got the, you fire magic missile at fifth level or whatever it was, everybody seemed pretty happy.
Well, it giveth and it taketh away.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. And then sort of my in-town character for the game is it's a character I created. This is going to feel real weird when I say it, Kay. 8 years ago.
Oh my God.
When I started, we had a long running fourth edition campaign, and, I did a zero level adventure, and they ran into a goblin pirate named Dragoto, and he stuck around that campaign and has appeared in many other campaigns. And he's my in-town character for the game. And he's a lot of fun just because I've played him so often and so much. And
he's the character
that keeps coming back.
Yep. He's the Pixar ball of our games. Either of us, if either of us has a game, Dragoto shows up somewhere.
You know what's funny? He hasn't shown up in Not Safe for Wizards yet.
Uh-oh. See, now that's gonna happen. Yes, there is, exactly. Yes.
and then last night when they finally made their decision, my next character I revealed to the group, it's a warforged war magic wizard.
I'm curious on this one. I haven't seen him play it yet. I just know he's gonna. So I'm excited about that one. I love Warforged. I think Warforged is such a cool concept and can go in so many different directions.
All right, Kayla, it's your turn. You stalled long enough.
What's oh, Jesus. oh, my goodness. Okay, so in Not Safe for Wizards, which is the game that Joe DMs, is our other podcast, I play Jade, who is a halfling rogue turning into a gunslinger, ridiculous little mischief maker.
And possibly now leader of the group.
And possibly leader. Thank you. I love her. She's a lot of fun to play. She is one of those characters that has grown. Like, I've really enjoyed kind of letting her grow. She started out very young and very naive and very wide-eyed and is gradually getting more jaded and deadly. So Jade was a good name for her. So I've got that one. I've got all of the NPCs that I'm playing in my game, which is massive. I don't know how I keep them straight. I really can't keep their accents straight half the time.
We're not even talking about it.
Right? It's like, forget it. And then, let's see, what else am I doing? I'm playing, for fun, I decided to join a game at our friendly local neighborhood gaming store. If you are in the South Florida area, please check out Adventure Gaming Store. I'm in one game playing two characters. Really weird situation. The main character, her name is Inara. She's a half-orc cleric. I call her the half-orc cleric of badassery. Like, she's just, she's fun to play. She's, how do I describe her?
I love how excited you are about it.
Yeah.
Just, like, talking about them.
She's fun. She's actually, it's interesting because me being not particularly a religious person, I kind of wanted to explore playing a character who really did kind of lean into faith. And this was a really interesting way to do it. So Inara is this level 3 cleric of a life domain. And the interesting thing about it is that the story started out with none of us having magic. And there was an incident that basically ushered magic into this world. So she's got this really incredible, and I've never done this in a game before that I can remember, this really incredible opportunity to, through role-playing, discover her magic.
I love that.
It is so incredibly fun. Our DM is a relatively new DM, but he's really good. And it's really been interesting to take that kind of that concept of a strong faith and discovering how that faith plays into magic has been incredible. And then we had one person that wanted to join the game that couldn't join the game in the nights that we were playing, but he wanted to play. So two of the other players, myself and another player, decided we were going to create other characters for him so that he could play on his days off. So we're all in the same world, but there's two separate games because we're crazy. So I went a little nuts and I decided to play a rabbit folk.
So they're new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I had heard of it in passing, like just in a TikTok or something, rabbit folk was mentioned. And I was just like, what? Where is that from? But it must be a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, rabbit folk are relatively new. I'm kind of just learning about them. I dove in with both feet very quickly and just went, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And she's kind of, if you've ever seen Zootopia.
That was actually my immediate instinct when they said rabbit folk. I'm like, well, now I can play a bunny cop.
Right? she's kind of got that bubbly personality and that wide-eyed curiosity of hops. But she's put that into the rabbit body of a chubby little geeky girl with, you know, big, huge Coke bottle glasses and the overalls dress and her giant feet. And she's curious about everything. And she carries around like a notebook sketchbook and is constantly writing things down and asking questions.
Yeah. So can I draw her? Because this sounds like a character I really want to draw.
Yes, please. I've been trying to draw her, and I cannot draw rabbits to save my life. Two dimensions is not my forte. And I did the same thing. I sat there and, like, scrolled through the internet going, okay, I got to find somebody's drawn it. Nope. Couldn't find one. So, yeah. Oh, my God. That would be amazing. And she does this thing. She's got very long. She's a lop, and she's got very long ears, and she puts her ears, like, up in a bun with her, like, pens and pencils sticking out of it. And aww. Then she'll pull it down, and her ears are falling in her face, and, like, she's just this cute little crazy little character that I'm having so much fun. And I have this really bad habit of anytime Lana is moving, I will sit there and go hop, 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 hop.
That's so cute.
What class is Lana?
She's a druid.
She's a druid. Okay.
She's a druid. So same condition, because it's in the same world, she's discovering her powers, as you know, as she's going along, and she's discovering her magic and things like that. So she's this little druid, and you know, she's doing things like she was in a temple. And she sat down in the middle of the temple as, like, crisis is going on and people are trying to figure out what's going on. And, oh, my God, and we have to figure this out. And she kind of just sat down and started growing little flowers out of the cracks and the with the stone, you know. And, like, she's easily distracted.
You know? He deserves the world.
Yeah, so she's a lot of fun. But yeah, the whole I'm having so much fun with like druidcraft and you know, she used animal friendship to befriend, not for herself, but for another member of the party, a triceratops.
Because they're just walking around.
Yeah, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, that's when the DM realizes, oh, I made a mistake.
He's made a big mistake.
I made a terrible mistake.
He expected us to see it as a threat because it was like being ridden by enemy, you know? So we killed the enemy, saved the Triceratops, and tamed it. And he's like, oh, shit.
That's, yeah.
That kind of reminds me, like when our DM threw a T-Rex at us for fun, and then I learned the spell polymorph.
Ah!
Whoops!
Yeah.
I had access to that right away.
Yeah,
that's too funny.
In Kayla's game, we've got a druid who nightly casts summon woodland creatures, or whatever.
Uh huh.
So she can see all different types of creatures. So then she can wild shape into them.
She found that little loophole. It's like if you've seen it, you can wild shape into it. But I can summon things that I haven't seen, so I'm going to summon all this stuff, and then I can wild shape it. And I'm going, oh God, I need more minis. Yes.
It's sort of like
that's
that.
Exactly what you need.
I have so many minis I had to paint. We keep buying them, and I'm not painting them.
To be fair, Bina has bought her own minis or printed her own minis taking care of the minis.
She has been very gracious and gotten her own menagerie of minis. And then we give them to her for like gifts and stuff. Like I gave her big old dinosaurs for her Christmas.
We gave her a T-Rex for Christmas, didn't we?
Yeah.
I also got the T-Rex exclusively for the point of being able to turn into it on the
Yay!
We were a little sad when we realized like she's got a couple more levels she's gonna need before she can do the beast shape into T-Rex.
But oh, it's so much fun! Yeah,
do you have me circle the moon to druid shape? I believe so because
she circled the moon.
Yep, yeah, she's a lot of fun. Point. Yeah, you knew that right off the bat. I forget things. I have forgotten more about D&D. How to play D&D with short-term memory loss and ADHD. We should do a whole special on that.
I made a TikTok about it.
Did you? I haven't seen that one yet. I gotta find it.
Players that have played their character for years, and it's just like their abilities and stuff. It's like, you know me. And the player's just like, no, I don't. The amount of times I have to Google my own abilities that I've used many times over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That should be just accepted common practice. I don't remember what the hell my character does.
No. Like sneak attack. I have no idea when it works. Just that it happens sometimes.
I'm always forgetting sneak attack.
You've gotten better with sneak attack. When you get the assassinate stuff.
That's I still. Don't forget you have this. Oh, yeah.
I forgot the hunter's mark. Can I do it now?
And don't forget, hide is a bonus action. That should be the last thing that you do. And if you're a lightfoot halfling, you can hide behind anything that's one size bigger than you, and that's thing.
Everything. Yeah. Yes. I did that like.
That doesn't say that was early Jade technique of, I'm going to hide behind Orion or Lilith, the paladin or the death cleric, and then spring out, shoot
hit
them
things and hide.
Yep.
Yeah. It was amazing. It worked for a long time, and then she started getting too big for her britches and forgot she could hide.
Not well, I think now the thinking is, oh, well, Lilith is fighting with it or Vel is fighting with it, so I'll just go up and stab it while they're fighting with it.
Yeah, that's an awesome technique for when you're playing smaller characters is it's distracted. I'll come up and hit it, and then it sees you.
Again, and that is why you hide.
Exactly. I need, like, hide on a sticky note, like, on the corner of my computer all the time.
Well, here's the thing. Jade likes to fight two weapon, so she has to either give up the bonus attack or...
Yeah, she's a double dagger girl.
Or hit it again.
You gotta hit it again. That's it's the rules.
Right? That's why you can hit it. That's why you take feats.
This is true.
But this is why you have feats.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do cool shit like that.
Well,
and then, you know, at some point you just get to where, okay, you can't hit me really. So now I have to try and talk my way out of things like a dragon's horde or half of a dragon's horde.
Well, you know.
Yes,
I feel like there's a story there.
Okay. My halfling rogue, we were in a dungeon and he found the dragon horde, picked a lock, went right in, started helping himself to the horde.
Like, why not?
Why not? He's got a backpack of holding. Not a bag of holding, a backpack of holding. It can hold lots. So he just starts shoveling in. And of course, the dragon finds out that he's in there because, well, you can smell him. Breaks the door down, and my nice little rogue definitely talked his way out of a half of a dragon's hoard with some really, really good bluffs and logical arguments. Like, possession is 9/10 of the law; it's in my bag; it must be mine. And a couple of nat 20s, and the dragon just shakes his head and gives up, and that's that.
Nice.
And that, kids, is how you buy a town.
Oh, that reminds me. This is something that I find interesting as you become a veteran player, especially as you go back and play with new players, is just knowing stuff like a dragon can smell you. In our campaign, we just happened to roll a bunch of ones on a random encounter check and got an ancient dragon come say hello. That was insane. And one of our characters decided
to turn invisible
was a great way to hide from it. And it being insane is why it didn't kill us, because it was too busy being amused. And one of our characters turns invisible. This is a new character. And I'm not going to say anything, even though I know, but internally I'm like, that has not helped you in the slightest. Because, yeah, invisibility is not going to help you. It's just smelling you.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a general struggle. Just being a veteran is trying not to metagame things that, like, what you think your character would know versus you know.
Oh, yeah, that's always a struggle. Metagaming pigeons are hard.
That's a key point.
Thank you. Yeah, especially when you're like, you know, working with somebody new and you want to help. You want to help. And I found this when I was new to D&D. And as you haven't been playing as long, I had a lot of problems in the beginning with people trying to cross the line between giving advice and telling you what you have to do. You know, like, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, don't forget to hide, you know, stuff like that, because that's like, oh, yeah, I always forget that. But then there's, I have made a definitive decision is based on my character and what I know as to how I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then somebody goes, no, you shouldn't do that. You should do this. Don't do that, folks.
Agreed.
That's when you look at them and go, you know what you should do? You know what you should do? Not that.
Yeah. Are people still doing that to people? I don't know. This was a long time ago.
Not in my game. I feel like we're pretty good about it, but I'm sure a lot of new tables are bad for it, just because they're figuring out how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's easy to cross that line, but it's important to let people make their own decisions, you know, as far as the game is concerned.
And have fun. That's what
exactly.
The game is about.
There you go.
It's about having fun.
Play your damn character. Yes.
Like, I have...
You shouldn't do this. You should do that. Well, by doing that, we're going to have more fun. So shut up.
Mr. DM, that's not allowed. The DM says it's allowed, so it's actually allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not in the rules. I don't care.
Rules have changed. Welcome to homebrew.
I will
one of every game is the DM makes the rules.
I will quote Mr. Jeremy Crawford. The DM is the final arbiter of rules at your table.
Yep. I know Jeremy Crawford.
It sounded like I was going to continue.
It sounded like there should have been more. Yeah.
Well, usually so whatever I give you in sage advice is still, you know, but I just like that, you know, the short DM is final. DM's final arbiter of rules at your table. So
Crawford and Perkins both are very good about.
Yes.
Anytime that somebody asks a question, a technical question or something, where they have the time or the energy or whatever to answer it, you know, usually, you know, through Twitter or whatever, they'll answer the technical question and say, okay, technically in the book it is such, but your DM makes the rules. Like, both of them are very good about adding that to whatever they put their two cents in on.
Oh, yeah. That's because I think at the heart of it, they are D&D players first and foremost, and then caretakers of the game secondary.
Mm-hmm. That's always the best kind of creator, the kind of creator that likes what they make and like wants to be a part of it and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have not lost sight of the love of the game, which is why they do what they do.
Yeah. And I mean, for anybody who wants to hear about that sort of love, I cannot highly recommend enough the Between the Sheets that Brian W. Foster did with Chris Perkins.
So good.
Yeah.
And what is that?
So Between the Sheets is an interview show that Brian W. Foster did as part of Critical Role's expansion into everything.
Right.
So they sat down with Chris Perkins and talked with him. And I think it's available on YouTube. So if you just Between the Sheets.
I'm just going to send myself a message to look that up.
it's on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, and Brian W. Foster, of course, hosts Talk Machina, but he interviewed all of the cast, plus they interviewed, I get Chris Perkins, they interviewed Sam Riegel's wife.
He's amazing.
Yes. They've interviewed Will Friedle and Mary Elizabeth McGlynn and a bunch of other folks whose names are falling out of my head right now. But yeah, so I really hope they do continue on. The pandemic, I think, hurt that because it was, you know, sit down in person, very intimate interviews. And
I want to say that the last State of the Role, they said something about a lot of those things coming back.
I do hope so. Because and you know, as much as I love the chuckle fest that is Brian W. Foster on Talks Machina, his interviewing and everything in those series, like, you really, as much as he is able to get revealed by his guests, parts of him are revealed, and that's really cool. So
yeah, he's an excellent interview. Speaking of which, Jaden.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I've been listening. I keep forgetting I'm supposed to talk.
Totally okay. Now that we've gone off on the D&D character jaunt, you know, and you said you started out as an artistic kid, were you always a geeky kid too?
Yeah, I want to say so. We definitely had like the PlayStations. Crash Bandicoot, that's a mine of choice. I'm sorry, Spyro. Crash all the way.
All right.
And like, it's hard because a lot of like the stereotypical geeky things, especially like movies and stuff like that, I haven't watched. I'm just not a big TV or movie person. But stuff like video games, I've always been super like, trying to think of like a good word, but I can only think of attractive right now. But just like super attracted to games and anything that is very creative, specifically survival games, anything that I could play a character, which is probably why I love D&D so much. Almost any art person, I think, is gonna agree when I say anything that lets you create a character, like the whole character creator sections, like Sims and sort of thing. Favorite part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a video game character, but there's a lot of games where I just want to go in and just make the character. I don't even want to play it. I just want to play with making the character. It's the whole game.
Wait, you can play the characters in The Sims? It's not just the character creator? Guild Wars is an amazing character creator. Absolutely adore Guild Wars, the second one specifically. I never played the first one.
Isn't that the one that Laura Bailey and Liam O'Brien are playing right now? Isn't it Guild Wars?
No, I think that was...
What are they playing?
Elder Scrolls.
Ah, okay. I don't know. All the names kind of squished together in my head.
Guild Wars is similar to kind of WoW in feel, I feel. Like, there's a main storyline that you could go by. It's a lot of side quests and just open world running around with people.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
But again, I'm there for the character creator. I've never hit max level. So yeah, I think I'd always been a little bit geeky. Not like full geek, but like nerdy.
Okay. Everybody has a gateway. Everybody has like the thing that started them. Sometimes it's comics, sometimes it's video games, you know, sometimes it's having geeky parents.
RuneScape.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't want to know how
everybody...
many hours.
Not you know, me. That's
pretty much everybody.
I missed RuneScape, but my nephew, Gavin, was huge RuneScape player to the point where he used to spend a lot of time at my parents' house to the point where I think it was one time I was when I was living in New York, I was down visiting and he was like lobbying me to lobby my parents to get like high speed internet because, you know, the dial up was just not cutting it.
Oh my goodness.
He spent a lot of time on RuneScape.
Will, were you a RuneScape guy too?
A little bit. Yeah.
Just okay.
A lot.
A slightly amusing story in regards to RuneScape that happened not that long ago. I want to say a year ago, I wanted to log on just for fun. I couldn't remember my username or password, like, who knows? And I just clicked on a thing, recover my account sort of thing, and it was like, when did you make it? I don't know. I have no idea when I made it. Couldn't even guess the year. Do you remember your character's name? Nope. And then it was just like, other notes. And I put in the other notes, hey, I have no idea. I made it when I was, like, 12. I just wanted to log in and see what was up. And I got it back the next day. They sent me an email that gave me the login.
Wow.
Nice.
That is...
That's a geek point right there.
Yeah, that's some customer service right there.
I wish I could have seen the face on the guy that read that email.
just kind of, well, they're being honest.
All right,
yeah, I feel that.
Let's figure this out.
Or scouring the drives.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. I can't think of the last time I actually picked up a video game. It was before you had to make accounts. I will say that much. That's for sure. But
I could totally see you playing Monster Rancher, though.
No, I could see her. I could see her spending hours on Star Trek Online making characters, not actually playing them.
Just making characters.
That's the game. That's what I'm saying.
Well, at least with Star Trek Online and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, you can sit there and you can alter everything about this character appearance.
It is ridiculous the amount of creative control that you have with those games now.
I want to play a Star Wars game just so I can play a Wookiee.
Okay.
The silence.
I'm down. Let's go, Joe. Okay. You can run another game, right?
We will run it as long as we're using the West End Games version of Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a geek point.
I say that as I have two of the first edition and one of the second edition, like the first edition sort handbook and the second edition handbook of that, plus a whole bunch of the source books for vehicles and Imperials and all that stuff. So yeah, anytime somebody wants to break out a West End game Star Wars, or I guess they now call it Star Wars D6, I'm here. I'll send you my Venmo and
so I'm gonna do this.
Uh-oh, what are you doing?
My camera's on.
Star Wars books. Oh, wow. Well, there you go. I will add your geek point.
Yes, I have the real thick book that was only available on PDF that was sent to a publisher to put in hardback because I'm that level of geek.
You know what I want to play? And y'all are going to laugh. I really want to play the My Little Pony role-playing game. Oh, Joe just one-upped you.
Fine.
Yeah, Yeah, I see your geek level. I see your geek is as good as mine.
Yes.
Is there a reason
that I want to play My Little Pony?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a My Little Pony fan from way back, and I just recently actually got to look at the My Little Pony role playing books, and they're really cool.
So I assume that would be like you make your own pony and like their cutie mark and everything.
Yes. I have been
she's
terrible.
So excited.
I'm such a girl sometimes in the awesomest ways. That's not a girl thing though. It's an anybody thing. It's anybody that loves My Little Pony. I got into Friendship is Magic when it came out. I love Tara Strong. I have seen her at conventions. She is absolutely incredible. The show is amazing. If you have not watched the show, I highly recommend it. It is not a kids' show. It is masked as a kids' show.
Is that the newer one?
Yeah, the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. It's on Netflix. It is masked as a kids' show. It is okay for kids, for sure. But it, like Disney, very often has just overtones of humor that maybe the kids don't get quite the way the adults get it.
Yeah. I really like Gravity Falls for that reason. That's an amazing show.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. They're so much fun. The characters are absolutely hysterical. The interactions, there's so much cool stuff. The messages are cool. So I was already a fan. And then, like I said, I hang out at our friendly local gaming store very often. And the owner got in the My Little Pony role-playing books. Knows me well enough that I got there one day and they were sitting on the table waiting for me.
Don't need to ask. They know that you want to read them.
It's like your favorite bar knowing your drink order, only better. And
I don't
oh
know,
my
that's
God.
Pretty good.
It is. I've only had that once.
I don't drink, but I had that at a Subway. I ordered the same thing every day. They knew what my sub was off by heart.
That's amazing. I've had a few places like that.
Will, you're gonna be unsurprised, but this involves a Chicago thing, but the pizza place, which was called Chicago Pizza, when I was in college, I would call up, they would go, same order as last time, and I would just say yes.
We all Chicago have Pizza, that's in Boston, right?
Consistency is key.
Consistency is key, definitely. Yeah, I've only had that a couple of places, but to have it at your, I mean, the owner is one of my partners, and has known me for a long time, but I sat down and I looked at these books, and they are very well put together, very well thought out. It is not, like a lot of times you see like something gets popular and they throw out a role-playing book and it's like, meh. That happens all the time. I have been dreaming since I was a child of creating my own cutie mark. And I have sworn that when I figure out exactly what Kayla's personal cutie mark is, it's becoming a tattoo and it's going on my hip.
Is there any like runners up that you've made, like, that aren't perfect, but like you've gotten close?
A lot of them involve artistic tools. A lot of them involve sewing machines. It's one of the things I do that I love to do.
Like making costumes, or what do you like to sew?
I have done costumes in the past. I was part of the Renaissance Fair and I made costumes for myself and my family for years, but
love that.
I am more of a patchwork made out of reclaimed materials, jeans, teddy bear type person. I like to make tote bags. I like to make patchwork teddy bears. I like to make
teddy bears.
I love my patchwork teddy bears. That's actually how my business started. I have this project, an ongoing project right now called Brain Monsters, where I am creating these little dolls that represent the monsters in our brains. Fear, anxiety, panic, depression, all of those things.
I love series like that. I've seen a couple with art. So cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I make them. I sew all of them, and then they go in. I, you know, capture them in pickle jars. And it's a whole lot of fun. But yeah, my sewing is that kind of stuff. But then I'm an upcycle artist, so it's really about kind of what comes to me. You know, I make roses out of monster cans. I, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, like it would have to be like a sewing machine, but then maybe with like a couple of other tools around it, like, you know, a pair of pliers and a pair of scissors. I don't know. I haven't totally figured it out. But I looked at this game and I was like, this is how I'm going to figure it out. You know?
I need to know what it is when you figure it out. I'm invested.
I will definitely let you know.
There has to be a glue gun.
Yeah.
And
glue gun.
It's a very important tool.
And a staple gun.
Staple gun, because Kayla's staple gun's everything.
The excitement in your voice.
And chalk.
And chalk. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, see, that's the thing, is there's so many like iconic tools to the things that I do that it may have to be like, I don't know, some kind of patchwork amalgam of such things. Maybe it'll be like a little patch of patchwork, and on each of the patches of patchwork is a different tool. I don't know. I'm going to figure something out. I may be calling you going, hey, I need some artwork done.
Sold.
Yay!
That actually makes me want to double back all the way to like one of the first things you said, that Molly Mock Chibi, which is funny, because when Mark originally... I got a message from Mark asking if he could commission me to do just some basic concept arting for different races. Eventually, I just asked, I was like, what made you pick me? I'm not a super popular artist, and I'm skilled, but definitely still in the novice stage. And I was like, you know, what made you pick me? And he just goes, oh, my wife saw your Molly Mock Chibi and loved it.
Yay!
Probably that one and little drawing gets me all the attention.
Yep, Molly Mock brings the world together.
Such a good design.
No spoilers. Not everybody is done with season 2 yet.
Oh yeah, no, not gonna say anything.
Yep. I am having difficulty. I'm halfway through the very last episode. Oh my god, that's the cutest thing ever.
In case someone hadn't seen it, because it's been mentioned once or twice, there's the Molly Mock Chibi.
Yeah, that's just, oh my, it's a whole, wow. Okay, I'm just going to sit here and stare at this. You guys talk.
And as we say bye to Kayla.
Lost Kayla.
It's not one of the prints I sell. It's because it is an interesting thing. I have looked around and I was trying to figure out if it is legal to sell Critical Role fan art, like if it's actually under copyright. Because I found a couple answers from like a couple of years ago where Matt said that they were totally fine with people selling merch as long as it wasn't, they weren't trying to sell it as official. But mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything recently, so I was always afraid of putting any prints up because of that.
Yeah. Who is that?
That's Adri.
Oh, hi, Adri. She's one of our other guests saw your picture. Yeah, it's interesting. Critical Role has actually been really cool about the fan art thing. Their merch does so well that they don't have to, you know, they don't have to be stingy, they don't have to be, and that's not, I don't think it's not their jam, you know, like they're just kind of like, they appreciate everything. I mean, they do the fan art of the week stuff with Talk Machina. You know, they do the cosplay of the week stuff with Talks Machina. They're very supportive of their fan base expressing themselves, you know, through the characters and things like that. And it's been super, super cool. And I've never heard of any artist, and I have independent artwork it's all Molly Mock, but
for good reason.
Yeah. From other artists, and I've never heard of another artist getting a cease and desist from them or anything like that. They've always been super, super cool. Again, as long as you're not like, this is official, they're cool.
And that was always the vibe I got. And I just generally don't know that much about like copyright laws. Because even if they don't care, is it still technically illegal? Is it only a copyright claim if it bothers them? I'm so lawful neutral, it's painful. Like, I won't jaywalk. So even if there's a chance that it's a slightly wrong thing to do, I'm like, I can't.
Well, you are kindred spirits with Joe, then.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. But the other thing is like when I did my second degree, we had to take a copyright / trademark law class for it. And yeah, basically it's while technically it is it can be a violation of their intellectual property if they don't choose to enforce it, it becomes harder and harder for them to enforce it down the road.
Right.
So, but at a certain point, if they are not enforcing it, then it's kind of, there is a certain point where if you don't enforce your copyright or your trademark, the courts won't uphold it. It's almost as if you've abandoned it. So.
I feel I finally have an answer to that question I always wondered.
Yeah, they've been really cool. And I mean, if you look at everything that's out there right now, I don't think that that's their goal.
Well,
yeah, there's such good fan art and prints available for that entire for both the first series and the second one. But the Molly Mock art, especially, so good.
Oh my God, there's so much good stuff out there. I mean, you're talking about an organization whose fandom raised $11 million for them to make a cartoon. I think they're okay.
You think? I mean,
we're having an online love affair here between a former guest and a current guest now.
I couldn't help it. She asked. I had to send it.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Yeah, no, the jester is gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
we're going to have to off air connect Jaden and Adri together. So
there we go.
That's how adults make friends. I've always wondered.
I think this is it.
I think you've stumbled onto the secret.
Yay! Friends through art exchange.
Adri is also an artist. She does costumes. She's been doing resin items now, so
he does jester cosplay and it's amazing.
She does jester cosplay, and she also has gotten into mini painting
and she's incredibly good. So yeah, we love our artists on the show. It's a big part, you know, big part of the people that we bring on, like yourself. Just it's fostering that community is so important, you know, and there's so many incredible artists out there that are not getting the recognition that they deserve and not getting paid for their work as they should be. And all of us are big proponents of making sure that artists get paid for their work, you know? Yeah. So anything that we can do to bolster that, including artists just exchanging each other's work.
Art trades.
Yeah. Art trades are awesome. I really, really, really want to get one of those. And this is a call out for anybody in the community who happens to know where I can get one, or if they have one that they want to get rid of. The old cigarette pack machines are being repurposed to be art machines. And it is the coolest thing. Artists are taking them, and there's little canvases that fit perfectly into the slots. And artists are taking these and doing little micro paintings, little mini paintings, and then putting them into these machines. And you can set, you know, the price for whatever, and selling mini art that way.
You can finish your thought and then I'll go.
That is it. I would love to have one in the shop, in our thrift shop. I think it would be so much fun.
I don't know much about the cigarette machine, so I can't speak much on that. But it reminds me of this little challenge that I saw a couple of people doing, and I did myself, of painting on pennies.
Huh.
And I had done one where one was R2-D2 with an orange background, and one was BB-8 with a blue background. And they're just a little matching set of pennies that have those characters painted on them. And it is so cute and fun. And it's really difficult.
Yeah, geek points for that, for sure.
Absolutely.
I was about to add it to be even nerdier. As I was going to say, it's very difficult, but I paint minis, so.
There you go. That's another one. Anybody that paints minis rocks, man. I can't, nope. It's eyes go crossed, and nope. So I have absolute respect for the people that do that. It's an incredible process.
It takes so long.
Yeah, I used to know a bunch of guys back when I was doing the Renaissance Fair. We had a bunch of guys who were D&D nerds and geeks and liked to paint minis and stuff. And a couple of them were like Warhammer players and things like that, and like to, you know, paint armies and all that jazz. And there's a handful of them that were all in the same organization. We all were in the same organization together, that all worked for American Express. And they all worked in the customer service department for American Express. And American Express at the time, now we're talking late 90s, early 2000s, were really cool about letting their people at their desks do whatever the hell they wanted as long as they continued to answer calls.
Right.
So there are pictures, and I've seen these pictures, and it's absolutely hysterical, of all of these guys in this like bullpen of cubicles painting minis while answering calls for American Express.
Wait, I want that job.
Right? There's like five or six of them that would sit there and paint minis all day while they worked. And there was like another two or three that were chainmail artists that would sit there and knit chain all day. And like,
that would be, I've seen like YouTube videos of people that do that. That seems so tedious, the chainmail. It's so cool and amazing, but wow, I do not have the patience.
It is insanely tedious.
It is incredibly tedious.
Yeah.
I want one.
having just enough knowledge to repair what I have. I hate it.
You have chainmail?
I do.
Will was one of our fighters in our show at the Renaissance Fair, so Will has chainmail.
Yes, and when somebody breaks it, I have to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just about every pain in the ass.
It is. It's a huge pain in the butt. I have spent more hours than I can possibly count sitting in front of the TV watching like the entire Star Wars series or something like that, knitting chainmail back in the day when I did it. And it's one of those things where it's just like people nowadays who crochet and knit and do all of those things. Is it's one of those things where you can literally just sit there, and once you get the rhythm, you just knit, you just keep going while you're, you know, watching TV or whatever. The problem is that it's hell on your hands.
All right, proposition. You make me chainmail. You got as many pictures of your bunny as you want.
I haven't done it in a very long time because it did kind of destroy my hands. But I passed the skill along to my eldest son, who I may be able to bribe.
Ah, there you go. Well, what are kids for, you know?
Exactly. So we'll figure something out.
Our dad's been ready for a long time. You could definitely bribe kids.
Yeah, there you go. Well, he's 26, so he's not really a kid.
But bribeable.
Fair enough.
But bribeable, yeah.
That doesn't change anything.
But yeah, one of the most popular crossovers for that kind of stuff is, and you see it a lot, and Joe has one, and I've had a few in the past, is chainmail dice bags.
Yes, I've definitely seen those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a fan of my chainmail dice bag.
they're fun, you know, because you gotta keep the dice, you know, contained, protected, or they'll run away and you know.
Excuse me, that gives them like an AC of 16.
My otherwise, you find them in the middle of the night with your feet.
maybe, but I don't know about you, but most of my dice bags came with free whiskey in them.
You know, in all the time of playing D&D, I never had the Crown Royal. I knew people with the Crown Royal dice bag, but I never had one.
Oh, not only do I have Crown Royal dice bags, but I have multiple varieties of Crown Royal dice bags.
I didn't know there were varieties.
Oh, yeah.
In multiple different colors, including some that you can't get here. You can only get in other countries.
Wow. I have
a burlap one from China.
Oh my god, that's definitely a geek point. How cool is that?
I keep forgetting you went to China.
Yes, I went to China.
World travelers!
Oh, I'm not.
Yes.
Where would you go, Jaden, if you could go anywhere in the world?
I'd go to the UK because that's where both my DMs are, and I'd love to play an in-game session.
There you go. That's very cool.
I'm very tempted, just because Will went on camera earlier to show something. I have my dice bag right beside me, and I'm kind of tempted to show it.
Do it.
You're welcome to it.
Perfect.
Do it.
One of my first D&D characters that I really had is a pink tiefling named Jinx, very Molly Mall-esque. So I have a lot of stuff that my friends made me for him. So this has pink crystals on it. It's pink on the inside. It was handmade because of the character.
That's really beautiful.
I also have a box that one of my other friends made that has all the crystals and is pink. My nail polish is because of that character, and a friend even bought me a cup with his mother for that character. And yes, I will send a picture of this character.
Yes, that's very cool. I love it.
I have a theme. I don't really like pink, but this is my life now.
Oh, look at that. Is that a crown?
Yeah.
And that's white. Oh, wow.
This is the burlap.
Wow.
Ooh.
That is really cool. We'll have to post some pictures when we when we put the dice. Because we're all goblins.
Dice does live there.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Oh my goodness. That is beautiful. I love the carvings on the horns. That's something that I'm just now starting to see people doing with tieflings that had not occurred to me before. The whole like painting and carving of the horns.
Yeah, I feel like there's always been like metal embellishments, but
that's very cool.
He was my wild mage because of him being a wild mage. His nickname was Jinx. And he came up from a circus where they all had swirls in their design somewhere, and his was on his horns.
That is so very cool. I love tieflings.
I did make him a part of a circus before I actually knew anything about Molly's character, so I swear it wasn't meant to be so much like him as another thing.
No, but again, it seems to fit.
Yeah. You got the eccentric, colorful circus tiefling. Like, we've all been there.
In a fourth edition campaign, I played a tiefling who was a street preacher in the lower levels of the city of Sharn in Eberron. But he technically didn't end up being a cleric. He was a bard, but yeah, he was a street preacher. And I don't think I had his horns. I don't think he had carvings on his horn, but he would paint his horns, as I recall.
He was a bard?
He was a bard.
That seems like a very bard thing to do. Very creative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are your guys' favorite D&D class, if you have a favorite?
Yes. What about you, Will? What's your favorite?
Sorry, I cut out a little bit. What was the question?
Favorite D&D class.
My favorite D&D class is I really love my rogue thief or my rogue cleric. Those are such a great combination.
That's really interesting. Was it his god was a roguish god, or was there internal conflict?
No, actually, his backstory is he was originally going to be just a straight cleric, and he's got three levels of cleric in him, so he was well on his way. And he lost faith.
Mm. Okay.
And it was a excommunication, and now he's on the street, and he has to learn how to be a rogue and
to
survive. And then it was a march to redemption, but he still enjoyed being a rogue because he was really, really good at it. So now he's just a rogue where he kind of went into the Robin Hood type thing. Where he's going to help people, but he's going to make it. He's going to take his kind of thing.
I want to see this made for next Netflix series.
I get chaotic neutral vibes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very, very much chaotic. Chaotic neutral to true neutral, depending on the action.
Fair enough.
It's cool. What about you, Joe? What's your favorite?
So here's the problem. I'm kind of always the DM. So I haven't got to play a lot of the classes for 5th edition. So it's
what are your favorite as a concept?
As a concept, I love the bards. Actually, I would say my two favorite classes, and I'm not going to be able to play them in Kayla's campaign because of internal rules I set for myself for making my helper characters. I love clerics and I love the bards. I love the versatility that you can have in either of those based on which subclass you take for them. Mm-hmm. I love the utility of them, and I love that they can play so many different roles. And I'll be honest, Sam Riegel gets like a huge tip of the hat on this for how he played Scanlan in campaign one. Mm-hmm. That was just inspiring and like seeing a bard, like seeing how powerful a bard can get. And then clerics, I just love the all the variations of depending upon which domain and like the domain powers, like like the Tempest Cleric, and like if you hit them, they can like deal you damage back, or you know, Jester and Invoking Duplicity, or you know, as a trickery, or you know, just those little cool things. Like they make the cleric stand out so much, and can be so much more than just the heal bot. Mm-hmm. But you should, if you're playing the cleric, and if you're playing the bard and you don't have a cleric in your party, you should be ready to heal people.
Just heal your party.
Just say.
Yeah, for sure. That's very cool.
KK, what's your favorite class?
Druids. I love druids, and it's funny because I don't play them all that often. But as a concept and as a just kind of, I think the druids are as close to like IRL KK. You know, like it's you know, mm-hmm. my personal patron goddess is Gaia. I am very connected to kind of plants in the earth, although I don't do well at keeping plants. I want them to be out in the wild. I don't want them to be kept, even though I really want plants in the house. I'm very conflicted. but I love druids. I love what they can do. You know, and the storm cleric thing is something that I'm particularly intrigued by. And now I'm kind of brewing this character in my head of a combo druid storm cleric. Okay. Now that has to happen. If Yasha and Keyleth got together and had a baby.
You're starting a ship.
Yep, totally. That. I mean, you know, it's still Marisha, so it counts, right?
Oh no.
Oh god. Bo would kick Keyleth's ass, but that's besides the point. But yeah, that's the nature side of things is always very intriguing, and I love that. In the beginning, I didn't play magic users. I only played fighters because it's what I knew in the real world, you know, and it made sense to me. But lately, I've been getting more and more into magic users and stuff like that, and having a lot of fun with it. And now I have to make this character. Excuse me, Jaden. What's your favorite?
I do like rogues, and I played them for a long time for a similar reason to you doing fighters. I was just a little bit unsure about like all the magic and stuff like that. It seemed complicated. And then going back to it because the Phantom Rogue. I love everything about the Phantom Rogue, and I made one character for it because I needed a one-shot character. I love her to death, pun intended. extremely cool concept for a class, and I think it's really cool, and I love the little Posey is her name.
Oh, that's an awesome name.
And that is a geek point.
I gave you one for that as TC got to you.
I remember when they introduced the idea of the Phantom Rogue in the Unearthed Arcana article, and it was like that was kind of dark, like. Like all of their feature, their subclass feature powers are like just very, very dark, which is awesome.
It's so cool.
But just seemed like a real departure from what they were doing. So
cute.
See,
we're gonna have to link to all of this stuff.
We need more people to run more games so that we can all play.
Right, so the DMs can play. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been talking for a while about doing like an every other Sunday family dinner. So if I did an every other Sunday family dinner, we could do dinner and D&D.
Yes, but is it going to be you and me running the game?
I'd run it. I'd run it so you could play.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to play.
Well, we'd switch off. I'll run a campaign and then you run a campaign. We'll do like mini campaigns because we have to teach.
Or we do it like, you got invited. You're running the game.
Yeah. There you go.
Damn, I'm suddenly very busy.
I was just about to open my mouth and go, so Will, you're going to be the first guest, right?
I you know, my calendar is very full. No. I admit my shortcomings. I am not a good DM.
That's okay. You're an excellent player.
No.
It could be potluck. It could be bring your own character.
Oh, that's absolutely something that could happen.
We do. When we send out the invites every other Sunday, we say, you know, it is potluck. Bring a dish and a character. And we
have to do custom builds where it's you can't pick what you do. You roll for it.
You like there's
12 races. You roll a d12. What you get is what you get.
Oh wow,
that'd be cool. Actually, D&D Beyond has a random character generator now.
Yes, it kind of makes me worried. One holiday for the Not Safe for Wizards decided to do a Secret Santa character. We did Secret Santa one shot, but each of the players made a character for someone else. The party ended up being two bards, two druids, and two rogues.
And we all had bagpipes.
And everybody was proficient. I think everybody but one was proficient in bagpipes.
We all gave each other bagpipes. It was so funny. We were a bagpipe, touring bagpipe metal band.
Nice.
Yeah, it was Big Gulp and the Little Swallows.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was...
It is. If you go to Not Safe for Wizards, you go to our anchor, it is on there. It is our Christmas special. The holiday special is there. It's right up there
with
the Star Wars one for sure.
Minus B. Arthur singing. We did.
We unfortunately couldn't have that. But
it's probably also our longest episode because we recorded the whole one shot in one night and.
That was fun.
That was fun.
We have to do that again now that, like, you know, the world is opening up. Yeah, okay, so I have to start planning a dinner party now. You heard it here, folks. Where are you in the world, Jaden?
I'm Canadian.
Oh, okay. So we definitely have to plan in advance if you're going to come to dinner.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, like, I'll be there.
Okay, cool.
I'll bring some like maple syrup treats.
Oh. There you go.
Say no way we can get some poutine smuggled.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'll
bring no, screw that. I need some Timbits.
We all have to put it in order with Jaden before she comes.
All I need is some Timbits and maybe some all dressed up.
Suddenly I'm an intern getting coffee.
Welcome to the show.
Okay with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We're all
the
demanding.
Intern, eventually the DM.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, while you're bringing all that, please also have a one-shot campaign ready to go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. I was going to say, we did also a Christmas one-shot, and I chose to be a bard named Holly Wreath that only sung Christmas carols.
Oh
my goodness. I would have given you much inspiration for that.
Okay. I'm giving 2 geek points for that because not only the name, but they sung Christmas carols.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant.
That is very cool. Is it recorded? Can we go find it somewhere?
It's not. It was just like a little family thing. We were trying to get our families to play. I do really want to a stream for D&D. Specifically, I don't know if you guys know about like the whole Vroid thing going on right now, like the VTubers.
Mm-mm. No, what's going on?
Okay, so just like just the concept, how they're getting a lot of attention, like people that instead of having themselves in the corner with a camera, it's a 3D avatar that motion tracks.
Oh, wow.
And they're getting a lot of attention, and I think it'd be super cool to do a D&D campaign where all the players are at the bottom with 3D models of their characters that tracks their movements.
That is insanely cool and so much better than my idea, because I was going to get puppets.
That you win. Is brilliant.
You win. But I like the idea of puppets.
Somebody did a puppets stream.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just thinking sock puppets.
That'd be amazing.
They, no, they,
wait, can
they,
we do that?
Yes! Yes!
But somebody did one. They looked more like they were almost Muppets-esque.
Oh my god! I have been threatening the Not Safe for Wizards party for quite some time to make puppets of all their characters. This may have to happen.
Okay, so I'm bringing Tim Hortons and and puppets.
There we go.
Oh, okay. It was the Stuff of Legends. That's the that was the series. I don't know if it actually did. They it was supposed to start in February of this year on the Jovenshire.
Oh, gonna have to check that out.
I'm just seeing if they actually released any of the episodes.
Google yeah, is they our did. Friend. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to check that out for
yeah,
sure.
So, yeah, they did a Muppet. The characters are Muppet looking.
That's amazing. I like the sock puppet idea, like very Syphil and Ollie. Like just
I'd want like each player to make their own. And you can you'd be able to tell who's the creative ones.
Yeah.
Who owns a glue gun? You could tell.
Yeah.
KK wins.
I'll take that challenge.
I relent. I'm out of the running on this one.
Oh man.
We could do one of those paper bag ones.
I was just going to say I will do a paper bag one because that's about my speed. Also, it gives me an excuse to play with Elmer's glue. So
and macaroni.
There you go. Ooh, somebody's going to show up with just like a sock yarn. With two googly eyes
yarn.
On it. Yarn. Pipe I have cleaners. Lots of yarn.
Mm-hmm. Guys, get out of
that stuff. You totally yeah, come to the shop.
We can definitely do, dude. We can definitely do kindergarten stuff. That's cool.
Every single map is finger painted.
Hell yeah! Oh my god! We're so doing this.
Kinder D&D.
Please invite
me. Kinder D&D! You heard it here first, folks. So making this happen. Oh my god. And we're going to have to do it like over Discord on camera or something so we can have Jaden with us.
Oh, perfect. I use Roll20 for most of my games.
That works for us.
Yep. Same.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so we're going to need to take this conversation offline before we give away too much of it, and then we see this pop up somewhere else on Twitch.
Right?
Yeah, if someone does the VTuber thing, they got it from me. I okay. Anyone could have the same idea. That doesn't
there you
happen.
Go. No, never.
I love this conversation, but you know, just kind of be respectful of time.
Yeah.
Shift over to do some geek news.
Geek news.
Thank you.
It's my job. I have one job on this ship.
That's a geek point.
The geek point.
Who would like to go?
Maya apparently would like to
Maya
go first.
Maya would like to go first.
I nominate Joe.
So yeah, Joe never goes first. Joe, go first.
I go first a lot.
I have spoken.
Okay.
This is the way.
This is the way. All right.
Thank you, geek points. Yeah.
So I will open with, as has become my custom, the in memoriam for this episode. Announced, I believe, earlier today, or actually late yesterday, actor Ned Beatty passed away at the age of 83. For those who don't remember or don't know, Ned Beatty was an Oscar-nominated character actor who racked up roles in Deliverance, Network, and probably most importantly to this show, Superman. He is said to have passed away from natural causes in his Los Angeles home, surrounded by friends and loved ones. He was a star of regional theater, was cast in 1972's Deliverance, where he got pretty well known for it. But he also, probably in one of my favorite of his roles was in 1976 Network, where he plays a corporate executive for in the movie Network, Arthur Jensen. And he has the when the anchor kind of has a bit of a break, Jensen has him in the office and you have meddled with primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it. And then what goes on to foreshadow that how there are no more countries anymore. There is no more democracy. It's IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont and the corporate control. So for our show's purposes, he is probably best remembered as Otis, the henchman of Lex Luthor, and the first two of Christopher Reeve's Superman films. And if you remember, he did kind of carve out a small part of the Pacific Coast for himself, Otisville.
Good point.
He was also a star of on Broadway, where he won himself a Drama Desk Award for his portrayal of Big Daddy in a revival of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He most recent movies included Toy 3, where he was the he voiced the stuffed bear Lotso.
Lotso was scary, man.
And he also was the villainous tortoise mare in Rango. And he retired from acting in 2013. The Louisville, Kentucky native got into theater as a kid, and it basically, it became part of his life. A very nice long life. The kid in me who remembers watching the Superman movies, he was a big chunk of it. I loved him as the bumbling sidekick. So, and then moving on to less sad news. Hey, anybody miss Mythbusters?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have my attention.
So the last time that Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman did anything was back in 2016. And while you can see some things here and there, including Adam Savage's very awesome YouTube channel, which I cannot highly recommend enough.
Okay.
There is a spin-off rejuvenation coming for streaming services, Motor Mythbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And it will include former build team member Tori Belleci as one of the hosts.
Oh yay, Tori!
Hitting the TV highways on Wednesday, August 4th on the Motor Trend app. Didn't realize they had a streaming app.
Sure, why not?
Motor Mythbusters will be airing. Belleci will be joined by professional race car driver BC Ezeroa. I'm probably mashed that name up, and Faye Hadley, whom fans might recognize from Motor Trend series All Girls Garage. No words on if any of the original Mythbusters teams will be showing up, but wouldn't be surprised. The new Motor Mythbusters series won't be too far removed from the original program. It'll feature its central three hosts trying to answer the biggest questions about cars, buses, and even UFOs. At least that can be put to a test. There will be experiments involving real-world theories, such as whether cutting off the top of one's car will make it faster and more aerodynamic, as well as segments that will focus entirely on fictionalized plot points from major Hollywood movies, kind of like what Mythbusters did in the early several seasons.
Cool.
That will be coming in August, the Motor Trends app.
I want to know more about this Girls in Cars show you mentioned.
All Girls Garage.
All Girls Garage. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm going to have to find that. Remind me, I need to find that.
Okay.
But yeah, at any time we can get some Adam Savage, we're good.
Next up, Paramount Plus offered a first look at the alien starship crew and the voice actors behind them for the upcoming all-new animated children's series, Star Trek Prodigy. So we do know that Kate Mulgrew will be reprising her role of Catherine Janeway. And we are told that Mulgrew's Janeway will be serving as the starship's built-in emergency training hologram.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's funny for so many reasons.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
The cast is Riley Alazarqui of Home Economics, who will be playing Rock Talk, a freak car and an unusually bright 8-year-old girl. Rock is a bit shy, but not when it comes to her love for animals. Brett Gray from On My Block as Dal, a 17-year-old of an unknown species. He fancies himself a maverick who, even in the toughest time, holds strong onto his unwavering hope. Angris Imri from The Crown as Zero, who is a Medusan. And for those who remember the original series there was a Medusan in that.
I was just going to ask how they're going to do the Medusan.
Since others could go mad at the sight of their true self, Zero wears a containment suit they made themselves to protect others.
Ah, okay.
Jason Mantzoukas will be, I was going to give like the one little show. If you don't know, Jason Mantzoukas, I mean, he's kind of everywhere these days. He will be playing a 16-year-old Tellarite. Tellarites, for those who don't remember, are the porcine alien species who helped found the Federation with the Andorans, the Vulcans, and the humans. And they are known for relishing an argument, which I think was best seen in that Enterprise episode. And Jancom is no different. Regardless of opinion, he will always play devil's advocate for the sake of hearing all sides. Ella Purnell from Army of the Dead as Gwyn, a 17-year-old Val Nakat, who's raised on her father's bleak mining planet and grew up dreaming to explore the stars. And you can't have an animated series without D. Bradley Baker, who will be playing Murph, whose age and species is unknown, but is an endearing, indestructible blob creature with good timing and an insatiable appetite for ship parts.
Okay.
I will put the image into our chat so you can see.
Isn't there a guy like that on Lower Decks?
I was just going to say that was the one voiced by Norm Macdonald. So yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they
cool stuff.
Yep. There was something else. So the premise is these six young outcasts know nothing about a ship they have commandeered, a first in the history of Star Trek franchise, but over the course of their adventures together, they'll each be introduced to Starfleet and the ideals it represents. So
yay.
Yeah, it's going to be CG animated, which you can see in the character pictures, sort of in, I was gonna say kind of Rebels, Star Wars Rebels-esque nature, but yeah, so that's fun to look forward to.
That's cool.
Yeah. Last week when I was doing my little geek news bit, I was going over all the information that was coming out during the week of legend lore that D&D was doing. The last piece I didn't get to because it didn't come out until Friday, but today when you're listening to this podcast, which will be June 17th, at 12 p.m. Pacific, so that's 3 p.m. for those of us on the East Coast, there is a open call for a Dungeon Masters Challenge. At 12 p.m. Pacific today, June 17th, a 72-hour open call for submissions from all potential Dungeon Masters will be issued. The top 10 will be chosen by the assembled Dungeon Master Emeriti to compete in Stage 2 of the Design Challenge. Finalists from Stage 2 will then move forward towards the final challenge. The winner will be announced live on broadcast, which will be the D&D Celebration with G4, which will be in July. They'll receive a trophy, a suite of D&D DM products, and a feature in Dragon Plus magazine.
That's so cool.
Yes. So if you haven't, go check out the DM portal for this, where they'll open up and give you what the design theme is. And you have until June 20th at 12 p.m. Pacific to make your submission. And then the top 10 finalists from the open submissions will be announced. They'll compete in a series of weekly challenges from July 22nd through August 29th. Finalists will be sent additional design and submission guidelines prior to July 22nd. Each week, one or two contestants with the lowest overall score will be eliminated. The final three contestants will be assigned a final challenge on September 2nd. The remaining three contestants in Stage 2 will be assigned a final challenge for the second. Additional information, design, and submission guidelines were provided on September 2nd. The winner will be announced live during the D&D Celebration broadcast on September 26, 2021. There is a whole bunch of official rules to read through, but this is, we are, you know, it's something that you can look into. And if you're thinking, hey, what could come of this? About 20 years ago, Wizards of the Coast and Dungeons and Dragons had an open competition to create a new setting, and Keith Baker entered, and we now have Eberron because of it. So
yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. I'm kind of intrigued to see what all they're doing.
You
with
should
this.
Do it.
I might, and I think I'll probably include a link to this in the show notes for the other aspiring dungeon masters out there who might be interested in taking a look at this. So that is all my news.
Ooh. Will, you want to go?
Shock, awe, and amazement. I've been caught up in E3 several days now. so I am putting together an E3 wrap-up for next week's show.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
And I really have nothing other than Mark Hamill has yet again won the goddamn internet. Because, you know, he replies to everybody but me. He had retweeted out, I think I've already put in the link in the thing in the chat. Yes, I did. Hey, Dad, with his new child, was showing off that he had force powers, and it made its way onto Twitter, and it went, it got the attention of Mark Hamill, and got a retweet out of that. So if you don't already follow Mark Hamill, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, go check it out. It's absolutely cute. And next week I will have a big E3 wrap up. With all the news and notes and whatnot. Oh, and go check out Loki because it's really funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
Very cool.
I figured we were going to hear from you about the Chinese rover on Mars now joining Ingenuity.
Again, I've been wrapped in E3, man. It's just there's so much.
And it is appreciated that you are buried in the E3, so look forward.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm excited to hear that.
So it might have to be its own episode.
I'm cool with that too.
Maybe
it's a possibility.
We'll find out. It ends tomorrow.
Boy.
Okay.
Boy.
You are excused from geek news then.
Woo-hoo. I'm giving a geek point for doing the E3 work. So.
Oh yeah. Ah,
dang. Cool. All
right, cool.
So KK, what you got?
Dumb shit. So
shock, awe, and amazement, but that's why we love you.
I was gonna say, why are you telling people my secret name?
Don't tell anybody. So in keeping in true KK fashion, we are continuing the series on what weird rubber duckies can Kayla find on the internet.
Oh god.
And Tubbs has introduced a new set. And this plays to my heart from when I was a little girl. They now have a Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed duck fight set.
Is it like the big, you know, with the red, white, and blue trunks?
Yes. It is literally the final battle where they're just killing each other, and the whole here, I think I can, I'm going to do this for y'all so that you can see they are bruised and beat up, and
oh, good.
Rocky and Apollo have just been through the fight of their lives, and they are rubber duckies because everything is a rubber ducky.
It's rubber duck action figures.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
And I just happened to stumble across this one and was like, oh yeah, I gotta put that in the news. Cause
I've never seen a rubber ducky with a mustache.
So good. It is.
I'm waiting for the Star Wars rubber duckies. I want to see the Williams rubber ducky.
I think there's one out there. I could probably find it for you. I think one of the companies that I follow does it. When I was a little girl, I was a very odd little girl. I'm still odd, just bigger. I was very typical pink walls and kitty blankets and four poster beds and a giant life-size Rocky Balboa poster. That was me as a kid. So this just spoke to my heart, and I had to share it with all of you, because if I have to see it, the rest of you have to see it as well.
I didn't know that I was going to have an internal debate today on where a mustache should sit on a duck's bill.
Right?
Because that looks like it shouldn't be, but I can't think of a better place for it.
Yeah, because if you put it up further, it just wouldn't look right.
That would be like as if it was above a person's nose, which wouldn't be correct.
Exactly. And you think, like, okay, if the duck's bill is equivalent to the lip, then the mustache is kind of at the edge of the lip. So I guess it makes sense. It's duck logic.
I am enthralled and sickened.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of crazy rubber duckies out there just makes me so happy.
We get that a lot around here. It's fine. It's totally normal.
Yeah, right. Welcome to the geekies.
I'm bringing Timbits and puppets and some ducks.
There we go. It's like that game. I'm going to the picnic and I am bringing. Speaking of, since we have been chatting so much about our beloved Critical Role, as all of you know, the second campaign of Critical Role has ended. No spoilers, of course. People are still listening to the 7-hour final episode. And I'm sure we will talk about it sometime soon. But that leaves us jonesing for our usual Critical Role fix. And Critical Role has found the most incredible answer to that. If you have not seen the news yet, Exandria Unlimited is going to be a limited 8-episode series. A campaign that the Critical Role crew is doing to kind of while away the summer before the third campaign begins. They have brought in some new people and some old faces as well. Matt is still with us, but he is actually getting to play. And we are so excited to see Matt play an actual character and not have to play all the characters. Ashley Johnson is back, and so is Liam O'Brien, and then they have brought in some incredibly cool people to help out. If you have seen, I think it was the last episode of, if you follow all of their Everything is Content stuff, the telephone game, you will have seen the amazing Bria Liangar. I really need to figure out how to pronounce that. Bria is amazing. She is helming this project as the DM. She is an absolutely incredible storyteller, an incredible personality. She's part of Dimension 20. Please check her out. Go look at her body of work. She is brilliant and funny and beautiful. And absolutely outstanding. They're bringing in Amy Carrero to play as well as Robbie Damon. And that's just check these people out. I can't even like give you enough of like their credentials. Robbie Damon's part of the Marvel Spider-Man stuff. Really, really cool actors are taking on some really incredible roles. The only thing we have seen so far is some clips from, of course, the State of the Role where they announced it and some stuff for their like pre-session stuff. And it already looks just hysterical. So if you're a Critical Role fan, please check out Exandria Unlimited. There is a Meet the Players video, which is really cool, where they kind of talk about their careers and being excited to do this and what they're what they're doing, and it's a very cool little video. You can check that out on criticalrole.com, of course, and I think it's up on YouTube at this point as well. So we're very excited and very happy to see that coming. And I don't care what any of you say, 8 episodes is still a campaign. Shut up. A campaign doesn't have to be 4 years long. That's for the internet. This is an interesting, there's not a whole lot of details on this. It's more of a rumor thing, but I thought it was interesting. And I figure if we hear more about it, we'll have talked about it here first. There's been some rumor and speculation on the new direction in which the Conjuring series is going. They're talking about, because they've kind of, and I need to go back and watch more of this stuff, but they're getting into the 80s with this, and the rumor is that from the director, Michael Chavez, that they may be exploring the satanic panic phenomenon in the 80s as part of the Conjuring series.
Cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Again, there's not a whole lot on it more than just conjecture and kind of the reporters' opinions and whatnot on it, but I thought that was cool. And we can keep an eye out and see if that does happen, because if it does, I think that would be really interesting, because we, some of us have lived through that. I would like to see it get its comeuppance. And finally, explore Disney attractions like never before in Behind the Attractions, coming next month. If you're like me, one of the fun parts about Disney is learning about all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And Disney is releasing a new series that will do exactly that, including rare interviews with Walt Disney. Each episode also features exclusive interviews with Disney legends and dozens of past and present Imagineers, including Bob Weiss, Janet Lamboy, Kim Irving, Scott Trowbridge, Tom Fitzgerald, and the list goes on. Indulging in insider secrets of the parks and how iconic Disney attractions were brought to life. Revealed for the first time are the wild stories of how the Haunted Mansion was filled with 999 happy haunts. How the Twilight Zone Tower of Terrors transformed into Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Breakout, while defying gravity in the process, and why Space Mountain took so long to launch. So that looks really interesting. I'm excited for that. I love behind the scenes stuff.
I remember when Disney Plus brought out that Imagineering series. That was must watch for us. And
yes,
I also am looking forward to this look. You know, because some of those rides are so iconic to growing up, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the full list of attractions that they're following to start is Jungle Cruise, Haunted Mansion, Star Tours, and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. And then they will go from there. So that... there's more. I'm sorry. Scroll, Kayla. The Castles, Disneyland Hotel, Space Mountain, It's a Small World, Train Trams and Monorails, Hall of Presidents. Okay, and that's it. So that's the poster is really cute too. It's very retro. But yeah, so look for that if you are a Disneyite, like many of us are, and get all the behind the scenes dirt. There's a couple of TikTokers that we follow that are real cool with Disney stuff as well, that we really enjoy. So there's a few of those on the internet already that you should go. Dapper Danielle is my favorite. Go find them. They're cool too. And that's it for my dumb stuff.
Okay. Don't think I was really that dumb. I think I was pretty good stuff.
Well, I mean, the duckies was pretty dumb.
No, the duckies is freaking awesome because that he's got a damn mustache and geek point for finding that shit. God, that's awesome.
Well, as we have now gotten to the end of geek news, it's time to go to the big board.
A big board.
I can't imagine who was our geekiest this week.
I don't know. I mean, actually, it was a closer race than usual. But coming out on top with 10 and probably could have given more geek points, Jaden, you are declared the geekiest.
Oh, part, I didn't even pull out the comic book wall or the fact that I'm wearing a D&D t-shirt.
Right? Like, that's like two or three more right there.
Just adding the score.
Yep, there we go. Coming in second is Will at a respectable 7.
Nice, Will. Mm-hmm.
Behind him is Joe at 5, and behind that is me at 3.
Very nicely done. Well, Jaden, as the declared geekiest this week, it's your right, responsibility, duty, and privilege to let folks know where they can find your awesome artwork online and where they can maybe purchase your awesome artwork online. So the floor is yours. Just realize that all your links I will put in the show notes.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I do have an Instagram and a TikTok and an Etsy. My TikTok is Mikiverse. My Instagram is the_Mikiverse because Mikiverse was taken. And my Etsy is Mikiverse Prints, where I have both just prints of some of my artwork and custom D&D sheets that have different themes to them. I have two out right now and want to continue that as a series.
That is super cool. I got to check that out. I like custom sheets.
Both the Clockwork and the Death Omen are awesome. I think I lean more towards the Death Omen than the Clockwork, but that's just me.
I had to do the Clockwork because my Kenku's a Clockwork soul, and I love him. And I have a whole lineup of themes that I want to do, and I think I'm aiming towards 20 total.
Cool.
I got a lot of time.
All right. And,
I already did a poll, and the next one is actually going to be a fungal and floral one, leaning for the druids out there.
Cool.
KK.
Definitely going to check that out. But, I love custom sheets. They're so cool.
I think that's all from me. I don't have a whole lot going on.
All right. As I said, we'll make sure to put links in the show notes so you can go and support this very incredible artist.
Much appreciated.
Yay!
Hey, Will!
Yeah.
Where will our lovely Fines fan you? Where English is hard, man. Where can our lovely fans find you?
Well, as our guest thinks that they're really nowhere, I'm going to prove them wrong. They're everywhere. You can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at Geekiest Will.
Dum-dum.
Joseph.
Yes, Will.
Where can they find you?
If you're on Twitter, you can find me at Demorgus. That's DEMORGUS. Had to remember how to spell it there for a minute.
Anticipation.
If you want to follow this podcast on any of the socials or all of the socials, just look for The Geekiest Pod. If you'd like to show some Geekiest Pod love by sporting some merch, you can go to shop.spreadshirt.com/thegeekiestpod. Right now we've got the five-headed logo and the hashtag geek point. More is in the offing as I kind of come up with a couple design ideas. You can find me as the DM of the Not Safe for Wizards 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast, where I am the DM, and I have been messing with the players a lot lately. And I think that's about it for me at the moment. So, hey, KK.
Yo.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, boy. Everywheres. Okay. So you can find me on the Twits. At @Hawk_Kayla. However, I don't check that one very often. Normally, I would say that my main account for geeky stuff would be on Instagram at @GeekiestKayla. However, recently someone has hacked my account, and I keep getting that your account has been logged off for your safety. Please reset your password. And then I reset my password, and then like 2 days again, it does it again, and I don't know what's going on. So I apologize that I haven't been posting a whole lot there. I am trying to figure out how to stop that and get that back up. So I will have that back up as soon as possible. Where else can they find me? We talked a little bit about the thrift shop, Secondhand Goddess. If you are in the South Florida area and would like to stop in, you will find Joe or I
At 4148 Davy Road in downtown Davy. Come in and check out our fun, geeky, witchy, cool thrift shop. If you cannot make it in, we do have an online presence. You can check out secondhandgoddess.net for all of your online eBay merch type purchases. Our merch shop is growing exponentially. I'm having some fun with t-shirts. You have, of course, our Secondhand Goddess logo, and now we have three new shirts. Very simple, kind of just shirts with letters with stuff on it. One of them says Charisma is my dump stat. I have, again, have to thank Will for these. Will gave me the inspiration.
It totally is.
The other one says Dexterity is my dump stat, which I need to thank his wife for. Was wonderful as well, and that's getting some attention. And then I have another one that just says Bitey, because I am. And so are many people we know. So those are there. More designs to come. I'm actually going to be putting up a poll in the next week. I have 5 or 6 different ideas as to what the next design should be. So I'm going to be putting up some options, and please tune in and vote, probably on Facebook, since Instagram is being weird at the moment. You can check that out at Secondhand Goddess on Facebook. You can find me playing Jade on the aforementioned Not Safe for Wizards 5th Edition D&D Actual Play podcast, and on every other Saturday and random nights during the week. If you come to Adventure Gaming Store, you can find me playing there as well. I think that's it. It's probably it.
I think so.
Yeah. So, and that'll be all be in the show notes as well, because half the time I can't remember that stuff.
Yep. So, as always, we like to mention that, you know, pandemic's still going on, so please follow all the rules for distancing and masking. Getting yourself vaccinated is pretty easy these days, at least down here in the States. So please avail yourself of vaccination so we can get to that herd immunity number, and then maybe we can get back to doing things in person again. Just don't be a dick, really, as Pete would say. And as always, this podcast believes that Black Lives Matter, trans rights are human rights, and love is love. We appreciate you listening this week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Leave the world a better place than you found it, kids.
Hey there, listener. Before we get out of here, just want to ask you to do us a little favor. Two little favors. One, if you go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review there. 5 stars would be great, but hey, we're leaving that up to you. And second would be, share the podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you think would enjoy a deep dive into geek culture. That would definitely help us. Thanks for listening. The preceding program was brought to you by Armored Bear Productions.